Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Thanks for stopping by tonight. I have a special guest tonight. His name is John Paul Alvarez, and he's a young man who is overcoming some of the adversities that we talked about last night. The fact that there doesn't seem to be a lot of equality. There doesn't seem to be an opportunity for everyone to shine in our world because we have too many prejudices. And last night we talked at length about the fact that women get treated like second-class citizens. And I've decided I don't like saying that. What I'd rather say to you is that I don't want to stand behind the men in my life. I want to stand beside them. And that's the way it should be in the world. All of us should stand side by side. I think that the world would, first of all, be a much better place if we could grasp that. And I think some places they do. I think I know some older couples who learned early on in their relationship that they were equal. And once they came to that realization, they became a much stronger team. And I think that's the whole answer to one of our biggest problems. The gifts that women were born with versus the gifts that men were born with are different. And what's nice about that is together we make an unstoppable team. So we really need to embrace that. We really need to understand that that's the real deal. That's what's supposed to be happening. We're supposed to enhance everything that the opposite sex has to offer. And that works both ways. And if we do it the right way, and we do it with respect and appreciation of the other person's gifts, we can't help but be successful at it. When I read through all the information that I did yesterday and I told everybody all the different things that I understood about how long it took us to be allowed to vote, I mean, what was everybody thinking? What, did they think we weren't smart enough to be able to make a decision about who should be the president or who should be the vice president or any of those things? It took us a long time to get there. And women, way back in the days of the suffragettes, they rocked. They were unstoppable. But isn't it a shame that they had to dedicate their lives to that? So tonight, the young man that's going to talk and who has put himself on a political journey, who wants to make the world a better place. I applaud him. I appreciate him. He's a young guy, and he has some challenges because, first of all, where he was born. Second of all, how much money he doesn't have. And a couple other things that I'm going to let him share with you. He has a promising future as long as people look at him for what he has to offer and not judge him for what he may not have or what he may not be in possession of. So I'm going to bring Shelley in because she's first on my board here. Hi, Miss Shelley. Welcome back.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I just got in. I was in the middle of doing, so I didn't realize how late it had gotten.
We have a young man who's on a political journey, and he is working hard to get himself into that particular arena. And he's from the Fort Lauderdale area, and he's a friend of Daniel Sohn. Daniel is actually one of his, I don't know what you'd call Daniel. I guess he kind of works for John in helping him get his name out there. But
had he
John
called anyone night already?
I don't think we've ever spoken to John. We have spoken to a couple of the other young men that that Daniel has been involved with. But John is John Paul Alvarez, and he he's actually moving forward. I'm going to bring him in. We talked briefly. He's going to fill us in a little bit about his roots and a little bit about his platform, and let people know that, you know, if you really want to do something, you can, and it's really up to you. So I think it will be a good incentive for some of our younger folks to hear what he has to say, as well as some of the older ones who have a tendency to give up because they think the mountain is too high.
Right.
Are you with us, John Paul?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is
nice to meet you,
John. This is Shelley. Shelley is a big supporter of the radio show, and she is with me just about every night. And she may have some questions for you as well. But first, what I'd like to do is, first of all, introduce everybody to you. This is John Paul Alvarez. And he is here tonight to tell us a story about what brought him where he is now and what he intends to do with the rest of his journey. So the radio is yours, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you. My name is John Paul Alvarez, and I am the Democratic candidate that is running for State House 100, which is half of it is in Broward, half of it is in Miami-Dade. It's a coastal district. Basically from Dania to Pasaventura. I decided to step up to the plate because I believe that our government should be putting our interests first, which kind of goes with my motto, you know, we should be putting people first in every decision that goes on in Tallahassee and in every government, state, local, city, county. It's a belief that has been instilled in me since I was a young boy. I guess, you know, I'm the product of first-generation Americans that worked and, you know, had all these odd-end jobs and were able to finally save up enough money to buy a home, to start a small business. My family started off being, you know, poor immigrants that never finished high school, weren't able to go to school because they had to work to help their siblings, to be able to, you know, come to this country and live the American dream and provide a good future for me. So, you know, I grew up poor. It took a while to get to the point where, you know, we entered the middle class. Because I had those life experiences where I struggled, sometimes there wasn't food to eat. Most of the time I couldn't go on the field trips. Sometimes I had to use the same clothes the next school year, and so on and so on. I can give you so many anecdotes. All those life experiences made me who I am. So that's why I got into teaching. I'm a public school teacher here in Broward County, and I'm also a teacher, Broward Teachers Union member. But, you know, something inside me said, I want to give back to more than just students. I want to give back to the population in a bigger way. And I think that the way that I can make this kind of positive change is by running for office and by representing Floridians at the State House. You know, I've always felt like I'm a fighter at heart. I've always felt like, you know, it's time for someone to step up to the plate and be the change that they want instead of waiting around for someone else. So that pretty much, you know, leads me to where I am today.
Let me ask you a couple questions, John Paul. Were you born in the United States?
Yes, yes. I was actually born in Miami to Cuban parents. My mom's side is Cuban. My dad's side is Peruvian. And you know, my dad was dropped off in this country, you know, at a young age. You know, you don't hear these stories often. He was literally put on a plane. It must have been the early 80s. So put on a plane, and he was out here to fend for himself when he was a teenager. And you know, he got odd-end jobs as well and worked his way out of poverty. My mom's side of the story is a little bit different. My mom's side was able to leave Cuba right when Castro kind of took over, and it was still, you know, you were still allowed to leave legally. They were able to get permission to enter the United States, and they came legally by airplane. And when they got here, boy, were they in shock. You know, you don't get here and automatically receive handouts and jobs at every corner. They, you know, they struggled a lot financially. Luckily, there was a few family members here that were able to help them. But, you know, my story is just very interesting because, you know, they came to this country and they actually were able to finally get out of poverty. Because in Cuba, they went through poverty as well. Here, they started off in that low socioeconomic bracket and worked their way into the middle class. And that goes back to my race and my vision for my state is I want everybody to be able to get out of this, you know, level of low socioeconomic and enter the middle class and beyond that if you can. You know, a lot of Democrats, people in my party, they say middle class this, middle class that, you know, we support the middle class. What about the lower class? What about the lower socioeconomic? What about, you know, the child that has, you know, child hunger or the single mom, or, you know, the senior that's just, you know, living in dirt poverty. What about those folks? So I want to talk about not only the middle class, but also everyone else that needs, you know, help in society to get better. Like, kind of like what you started off saying in the beginning of the show when you were introducing me and leading up to me. I want to leave this earth, this country, this state better than it was when I, you know, was able to make any difference whatsoever. I want to leave it better for future generations. I want to make it better. And that's why I believe in putting people first in every decision that I'm going to make.
Well, and I don't think you won't get, I don't think you'll get in any arguments with Shelley and I in regard to any of that. I think Shelley and I are in complete agreement with that. And I think most of us who have any kind of conscious, I don't know, beliefs about anything, would like to think that we can give something to the world in which we live and hopefully make things better for other people. I want to ask you a couple kind of pertinent questions. So for you, what do you think a middle class income is today, John?
I can tell you not enough. You know, in order to qualify for any kind of public assistance, you need to be literally at poverty levels. I believe the last number was maybe like less than $17,000. If you have a child, then you can get Medicaid, then you can get food stamps. I mean, I'm in a situation, I'll talk about myself from personal experience. I'm a public school teacher. I get paid just above that amount where you can qualify for financial assistance and public assistance. You know, and it my teacher salary, literally, I stretch it thin. I live paycheck to paycheck. This is why I need people like myself, including myself, to get elected. People that are honestly struggling. People that live paycheck to paycheck. People that know what it's like to, you know, get paid and then say, should I buy this kind of grocery or should I maybe buy these kind of foods instead? Can I even afford groceries this week? You know, should I take care of myself and go to the doctor or the dentist, or should I pay the mortgage or the rent? You know, that is, you know,
those are true scenarios. Yes, you're right. I know. Are you married, John?
No, I'm single. In terms of marriage, I'm single, but I am in a committed and loving relationship for the past 5 years.
Okay, so there's no children involved or anything like that. So
no.
You're talking about taking care of yourself and helping a significant other.
Correct. Yes, and also, you know, my grandma, you know, she's getting old, and you know, she made me who I was. My mom helps tremendously as well, and I want to give back to them someday, but it's like, you know, you just can't seem to catch up. You know, when mm-hmm. when you go to school for 4 to 5 years, you become a professional, you have a degree, and you love your teaching position, but you don't get paid a respectable salary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My story is just one story of many, many stories that I hear on the campaign trail when I go knocking door by door, and I hear the stories of people that are professionals, and even some that, you know, had the good job and lost the good job due to the economy that aren't necessarily professional.
Yeah.
People are struggling
yeah.
at every bracket.
Well, you know, last night when I read some of the statistics that I looked up, Shelley and I were both kind of blown away by some of the statistics. And in like the Fortune 500 arena, where you know people are making salaries in the millions, women comparatively are much, much lower. Even if they are neck and neck, taking the same responsibilities, handling the same kind of problems and challenges and everything with a big Fortune 500 company. One that springs to my mind that I wrote down last night, same arena, same chores, if you will, same responsibilities. The woman was making $16 million a year, nothing to sneeze at, absolutely very proud of her, think that's wonderful. However, when I looked at what the man was making, that is doing the same kind of a job, running the same kind of a Fortune 500 organization, he was making $129 million.
Unbelievable.
I know. So here again, the other thing that I watched that I've never been a real avid fan of Oprah Winfrey, only because I thought too many things were on the sleeve, you know what I mean, like making people feel sorry for other people and doing things like that. There was a time during her shows that I thought to myself, I wish she wouldn't bring these people out so everybody can feel sorry for them, and that's my own pride. And I guess that was one of the reasons why I didn't appreciate her show until she became who she is today. And now, of course, I'm incredibly proud of her because she's a black woman. And she's kind of rocked the world with who she is. So
yep.
I watched an interview with her on the internet the other night when she was a young woman, and she was working in a position where she was making $20,000 a year. And this was a long time ago. So back when she was making this, it wasn't a bad salary. But the men that were doing the same job were making like 3 and 4 times that. So when she asked for a raise from her boss, the boss said to her, what do you need a raise for? You don't even have any children. Do you have children? She said, no. And he said, well, do you own your own home? And she said, no. And he said, well, then what do you need more money for? That was his answer to her. So she
wow.
said, you know, that made her realize right then and there that she had to be in charge of what she was going to make, not somebody else. And which I wished I'd seen that video 40 years ago, because I would have been a much more avid supporter of who she is. But the fact of the matter is, even for somebody like you, you are trying to overcome some stigma that's attached to, first of all,
mm-hmm.
being poor, second of all, being a I don't even know what an American is today. I think we're all Heinz 57 anyway, but that seems to have some stigma attached to it as well. And you know, you're not in a position to go around and spend thousands of dollars getting people to put your name out there. So you're going to have a tough road.
Let me tell you what I am. I'm a public school teacher. I am living paycheck to paycheck. I am a Hispanic male. I am an openly gay male. I have a lot of things going against me, but I do have a lot of people believing in me. Right? A lot of people actually turn all those things that I said into a positive and make this race and my candidacy into a historic one. Broward County has a huge Hispanic population, so we've never elected a Hispanic county commission. We barely have any Hispanics in any of the city councils, so this is going to be our first chance to elect a Hispanic at the state level. You know, Broward County
is that
very
really
important.
True, John? Is that really true?
It's very sad, and you know we have a huge population of Hispanics. I don't know the numbers off the
yes,
top of
do.
My head. We are a significant minority in Broward County, and we've been unable to elect Hispanics at the local level. So this is a historic race in that sense. Also, we do have a huge gay population, GLBT, gay, lesbian, and bisexual, transgender.
Yes.
Especially
we talk
in
about that
in
a lot on this show. Shelley and I are avid supporters of every lifestyle that is loving and safe and supportive, which is how we feel about homosexuality
as a whole. You said a key word, it's loving. Because at the end of the day, it's all about love. It's about who you love.
Amen.
Not about labels, not about this or that.
Well,
exactly.
I think
that's how Rainey and I look at it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, to be honest with you, and this is just from my point of view, I've had times in my life when I've been relatively successful. I've had time in my life when we've lived all six of us in a van. So every upper part of the ladder and every lower rung of the ladder we've sat on at some point in time in our lives together, my husband and I and all of our kids. And I think you and people like you, in other words, people who are willing, ready, and able to overcome the rocks in the road are the ones that are going to have to build the platform that takes us all to a much higher level. A level of less prejudice, a level of more empathy and consideration for other people's needs. I think you are going to have to do that, honey. I think you and other people like you is you're going to be the reason that we all get lifted up because you know how to lift yourself up.
And, you know, another part of it is something that we've talked about on this show many times, and in the position that you're going for, you kind of have you're in the driver's seat for a lot of these types of issues, but you were talking yourself about, you know, how nobody really looks out for the lower class, you know, not even the middle class, but for the people that aren't anywhere near there, that are at, like, poverty level. And I'm not embarrassed by saying this, but I'm actually going through a short sale on my house now because I can't maintain it anymore. I am back to work after being unemployed for a while. And although I'm luckier than most people because I was able to hold things together and pay all my other bills and things like that, I've just come to the decision I'm just going to relinquish my home so I don't have that pressure and just get a nice place to rent somewhere. And like I said, I consider myself extremely fortunate that I'm in that position. But the point I was getting at is that the individual that's helping me with the short sale on my house does this professionally. He's been working with a lot of other people. And he told me an absolutely heart-wrenching story that I can't get out of my head. I keep thinking about this couple. And he said that in the area where I live, he's helping an elderly couple that, when the man was successful and in business, they lived in a $400,000 home. So they were used to nice things. But then his wife got sick. She got cancer. And he ended up spending his life savings trying to save her. He's in his 80s now. She's dying. He's 84 years old. And he has to work at Publix just to make enough money to buy food for them. And they're losing everything.
Shouldn't happen in America.
Did this story has bothered me since this man shared it. I cannot stop thinking about this couple. I mean, what is wrong with that picture? And then you have other people that are so wealthy and live almost, wealthy to an obscene level, and they get all the tax breaks. Some of them don't pay any taxes at all. how is that possibly fair?
And
and
they also collect their Social Security, Shelley.
And they collect their Social Security, right. So
which is, if it wasn't so sad, it would be laughable.
Yeah. So there's a huge lack of equity there, where the people that have get so many breaks that that's why they have more, and the people that are struggling, the breaks should go to the people that don't have a lot, not to the people that do have a lot. And it's always been mind-boggling to me that that's how it's structured in our government.
I completely agree, Shelley, and I do want to say that I'm sorry that you're going through that, you know, with the short sale of your home. And, you know, so many people are going through your situation. My grandma, you know, like I said, you know, she worked her way through poverty, was able to have a tiny business, a small micro business, and then save up enough money to buy her home, and now her home is underwater. So it's like,
wow.
You know, it's affecting everybody. It's affecting everybody.
Yep.
And it's up to people like me that can step up to the plate and make a difference, you know, and try their hardest to make a difference. Unfortunately, you're absolutely right when you mentioned, you know, all the tax breaks going to the wealthy and to the corporations. Our state government, it specializes in that. As you know, folks in my party, we're only 44 Democrats out of 120 seats. The rest are Republicans. And, you know, every time that they vote on the budget, on the state budget, they put, you know, students last, they put seniors last. You know, sometimes they don't even think of anybody in the middle class, unfortunately.
Exactly.
But we keep seeing tax break after tax break after tax break. And at the same time that's happening, our educated, you know, population is suffering because our schools are being underfunded. Our per-student spending is getting lower and lower each state budget that we pass at the state level. So, you know, you have people that are struggling economically, financially, and then you have this population that's clearly not going to be as well educated as maybe my generation or your generation or my grandmother's generation and so on. Things are not getting better, and unfortunately, you know, I'm in a situation where I feel like I have to do something about it. I can't just sit and wait for another Rick Scott to pop up.
Exactly.
And run
the right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's why I'm doing this show, honey. I left my job. I was actually asked to retire because it appears as though I no longer fit the profile. And I had worked long and hard to make somebody else rich again, for not the first time in my life. And when I left, I thought to myself, okay, so what do I want to do? This was after my grandson had been set on fire, after I had been welcomed into the world of all these wonderful people that I've met that are doing wonderful things. So I thought, okay, that's what I want to do. I want to have grandma's house. I want to have a place where these kids, like some of Daniel's friends, and even Daniel and his brother at one point in time, where they would have a place to come, not stay forever, but a safe zone, like a real grandma's house. Like
exactly.
Where grandma used to live on the farm years ago, and there were 6 or 7 bedrooms, and if you needed to go there and spend a month to get back on your feet, you could do that. You knew you were going to get, you know, pancakes for breakfast, and you might get pancakes for dinner, too, but there was always something. Right? And I thought I could do that, but the red tape was, you know, blew me away. And even got some people through Shelley, some lawyers and things like that who said they wanted to help. But the more I researched, the more I realized it was out of my reach. Why? Because I don't have enough money to do it. So I ended up doing this show in the hopes of opening people's eyes. And to do one other thing, and this is what I'm going to suggest to you that is going to make you who you need to be, who you want to be, and who you are almost there already, and that's unity. You've got to pull together enough people who are of the same mindset that you are, and you have to be strong within that community of unity. You've got to make sure that they all stand beside you, believe in each other, trust each other, and be as strong as you can be. And you will make these changes. But if you don't do it like that, you can't do it. You have to get that unification going, that big team of people. You know, look around Florida. We've had hurricanes, we've had rain, we've had everything you can have. You see what's still standing? All those damn banyan trees, because they grow out, and instead of just growing bigger and bigger and reaching for the sky, their branches fall down and root in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can get as big as they need to be and still stay standing. And that's what you need to do. You need
incredible.
To gather enough people, okay? And we'll help you with that, John.
And
I completely agree.
I completely agree with everything you said. This is why this is not only the most transparent candidate in the race. My team has made me who I am. This is a grassroots campaign because of all the wonderful staff members and even volunteers that have joined this movement. It's a movement. It really is. You know, we have college Democrats from the local college endorsing me. You know, recruiting to be volunteers. We have retired local elected officials that are backing me. We have young elected officials that are backing me. We have people from everyday community that are not really political that are believing in this race. So I completely agree with you. It is about unity. It's about bringing people in. It's about empowering people and making a difference.
Yes. And all of those things are gonna make you. All of those things, you know, as long as I've lived, I had many, many things happen to me that weren't so great. But I've never gone through them alone, ever. There's always been somebody standing beside me with a cup of coffee or a $5 bill or whatever it was I needed in that moment. And I believe that's because I am who I am. Because if I see somebody else is in that place, then I might be the one holding the cup of coffee or the $5 bill. So when we all get that, when we all understand that that's the way it's supposed to work, the circle will get bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger all the time. With all the things you've got going on, you have to let me know all the time when you're going to do something, because I'll announce it on the radio. We'll let people know. There will be lots of people that want to support somebody who understands what's going on and who isn't blind to the sad parts of what our communities hold.
Nice.
Thank you. And I really, really appreciate that. And I want to come back on this show whenever you'll have me. You know, like I said, I'm the most transparent, the most progressive, the most people-oriented candidate in this race. I'm the candidate that is not going to get money from the developers or the corporations. The only special interest that is going to fund me is the special interests that are people. Those are the only special interests that will fund this campaign. We've been fundraising at the grassroots level, like our president did, you know, with the $3 donations, the $5 donations. We've been even getting $100 donations and so on the Facebook and Twitter and all this social networking. We've been doing the best we can with our limited resources. And the best way that any listener can help me is to just visit my website and just read about me. I'm not going to ask anyone for money. I want you to read my story, the full version, and just learn who I am, look at my values, and look, most importantly, my vision for Florida. Because although you may have listeners in Palm Beach or in any part of the state, you know, this race will matter because I am one less vote Rick Scott's going to have. I'm one more vote the people of Florida will have. So visit my website, voteforjohnpaul.com. That's voteforjohnpaul.com.
Voteforjohnpaul.com.
Let me
make sure I've got, because I'll write that on my Facebook page too. Voteforjohnpaul.com.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. If you succeed, what title are you going for? What office are you going for? Explain to everybody what it is you're actually running for and what your job will be.
Okay. Well, I'll break it down for folks that are, you know, want to educate themselves more on state politics. Because to be honest with you, I was a national politics guy. You know, I was all about the presidential race and so on, and then I became a teacher, and I saw how my students suffered from a state budget, how parents what they went through because of a state budget, and most importantly, what everyday citizens go through because of our state budget. So I became enthralled with state politics. As your next state representative, I am going to be representing not only my district of over 167,000 folks, but also, like I said earlier, the whole state of Florida. In the state of Florida, our state house has 120 seats. Right now, we only have 44 Democrats, so we are in the minority. So anybody who feels like they are progressive, they value helping people and so on, you tend to be a Democrat. Right now, we're in the minority. Republicans, the big business industry, they are in the majority. So by winning this race, we will have one more vote that is 100% for equality, 100% for funding our schools and finding new ways to make our students learn better that does not involve testing, finding new ways to help small businesses and small startup businesses that need those kind of financial assistances to create the jobs that we need. And most importantly, you know, healthcare. That's another big issue that I constantly talk about on the campaign trail. Those are the things that I have a vote on, and those are the things that I have a voice on. A state representative is elected every 2 years for a maximum of 8 years. And, you know, my district, again, it runs from Dania Beach all the way past Aventura. So it's half of it's in Broward, half of it's in Dade. But I look forward to representing all Floridians on this next journey that I'm entering.
Well, I'm with you, and I, but again, I would like the opportunity to have you on the show whenever, you know, maybe even once a week for a while, so that, I mean, I have between 700 to 1,200 listeners a week. So,
you know,
I think...
It would be a pleasure to talk about issues with you. I would really, really be very, very fortunate to have that experience with you.
Well, and I think it's good for people to understand. You know, I mean, I listen to single moms all the time. You know, they've got a kid in school, and I have a granddaughter who's a teacher, and I have a brother-in-law who's a teacher, and both of them do side jobs. And I listen to what they're telling me, and then, of course, I read all these articles because I research all the time for the show, and I find these teachers, you know, one of the principals up here at Royal Palm Beach was just arrested for soliciting a prostitute. And
I read that.
Shockingly, the feedback that I read on the internet was, well, you know, he's not really handsome. He's kind of fat, so he probably has trouble finding sex. So that's, you know, so he didn't attack anybody or he didn't rape anybody, so I don't know why everybody's all upset about this. And I said, well, because he's teaching our children that to do things that are illegal is okay if you have a good reason.
Correct.
And I don't think that's, I don't think that's such a great lesson. I'd rather find out that he was drinking in a bar and waited to pick somebody up or something rather than solicit a prostitute. That's illegal. I know it's the oldest profession in the world, but it's still illegal. So, you know, and I see all these other things about teachers. Shelley can tell you I've looked up so many things, and I see all these videos on the internet about teachers that have done this and done that. And then I read a story about a teacher who does something wonderful, or my six-year-old grandson, they had a teddy bear's picnic in kindergarten, and all the kids brought their teddy bears, and they had the picnic, and the teacher said the teddy bears, because this is their picnic, get to spend the night in school, in our classroom. So the next day when the kids came in, the teddy bears had raised havoc in the classroom. They were hiding in tissue boxes with all the tissue out. They pushed chairs around the room and everything, and the kids were just so excited about how the teddy bears had messed up their schoolroom. And my grandson came home and told me all about this, you know. And it was just so much fun for them. And you know about a teacher like that, and you feel warm all over because you know she really cares about what she's doing, you know. So, but yet, this same teacher.
That's just a beautiful, that's something just so beautiful. It's an example of how, you know, teachers go, you know, far and beyond what their job description is to help out their students, to make them, you know, a lot of my students don't want to go home sometimes. They say, I don't want to go home. But the bell ring, you're going to miss your bus, you know.
What grade do you teach, John?
I teach fourth grade, and I teach at a very special school. It is probably the third lowest socioeconomic school in all of Broward County. And, you know, I don't think it's fair to say the name, but I will say this, you know, it's a majority-minority school. Over 88% are students of Haitian descent, so a lot of them are learning English for the first time. About 91%, I believe, are on free or reduced lunch, and as you know, that is a huge indicator of, you know, of low socioeconomics. I was a free or reduced lunch kid growing up, so... You know, these students, they're just a beautiful group of kids that just need so much love, and they need good teachers, and they need, you know, just a little bit of help, and they can get ahead, and they can get those good MCAT scores, and, you know, they can have a good future instead of a negative one, you know, and that's just an example of, you know, what I do, I guess.
Well, and that's what makes all the difference. You know, that little bit of caring sometimes, too, in different scenarios, that's the only time that somebody gets that kind of caring, the only time. And I think that that's important to know, too. You know, that's like people who go into the same restaurant every day. I've always told this story because for years I was a waitress and supported our family on tips. And I had people that would come and see me, and I realized pretty early on that I was it for them for the day.
Right.
I was the only one that they communicated with all day long. A lot of them were older folks, and they had nobody left, and they would walk all the way over to the restaurant I worked in to have a cup of coffee with me and maybe a piece of pie or something like that. Couldn't spend a lot of money, but I was it. And when I realized that, it made it very important for me to make sure that I always recognize that. So
I am a strong believer that a smile and a little bit of kindness can move mountains, honestly. You know,
absolutely.
You can make a difference in somebody else's life. You know, I like I said, my students, you know, live in extreme poverty. A lot of them saw me as a father figure, you know, and it breaks my heart because, you know, you can't cross that boundary. But you know what? I made sure that I did not cross that boundary, but other people crossed it for me. And I had people that I know from the political arena that donated clothes and donated toothbrushes and toothpaste on their behalf, not my behalf, because I didn't want to cross that line. And some of these kids had the essential materials that, you know, we take for granted every day, like a toothbrush that we buy at the supermarket or the drugstore, you know. They don't get a new one all the time. They can't afford one. So I made sure that my kids, I call them my babies, even though they're 9 and 10, I made sure my babies had what they needed, you know, and especially this one girl, I will never forget her for the rest of my life, and I hope I can see her next year, and I want to make sure she's okay. Her mom stayed behind in Haiti because she was not able to come. Her dad is here trying to raise her. She has no siblings. She goes from aftercare to a friend to a relative taking care of her while her dad works. You know, I helped her dad find the job to begin with. Secondly, I made sure that she had those clothes and those, you know, hygienic products, like I mentioned earlier. You know, I really took care of this family, and I feel so good about it inside. You know, and I wish I could do that for every family that's struggling. But it's just impossible sometimes, you know.
Right.
Well,
right.
And I agree with you, but just the fact that you would like to, people know that. They feel that. You know, so that sometimes makes all the difference. Knowing that you care enough and are aware enough, sometimes even for a 10-year-old, is all they're looking for.
You know,
that's
the,
right.
most the last time I cried was when I got on the phone with my grandma, and I said, you know, Grandma, I'm gonna be running for office. Because I ran for office before when I lived in Central Florida. I lived up there for a few years. I won my primary, but I got attacked by the Republican in the race, and I didn't make it, unfortunately. But I did win the primary, and that was great. You know, but my grandma saw what I went through campaigning and walking the neighborhoods and knocking on the doors, and she's like, John, never do it again. Well, lo and behold, I called her, you know, a few weeks ago, and I said, Grandma, I'm back home in South Florida. I tried to retire. I really did, but the community is behind me. They believe in me. They've literally, you know, they've drafted me like Eisenhower, really. They really did. And it made me cry that she stayed silent, and then she started crying, and she said, you know what, I think this is your destiny. I think that, you know, you're meant to help people. And it went from a total 360 from her saying, are you crazy? You can't be doing that again. You're going to kill yourself walking those neighborhoods to, oh, my God, you know what? This is who you are. This is the child that I raised. This is who I wanted you to be. I'm okay with it now. You know, and that was the last time I cried. So, you know, I have my family support in this journey.
Well, the whole idea is people like you, honey. Shelley and I talk about this all the time. It's about people who care. I'm sorry, there isn't anything else. And there isn't anything else that really works. You have to care. And if you don't, if you don't care, then you're not there, right?
Right.
Who's going to care if people like us don't, you know?
I'm not sure, honey.
And, you know, the nice thing about it, John, is that, you know, like, being on a talk show like this, you know, your sincerity comes across loud and clear.
Yep.
Your desire to make a difference, the fact that this is almost like a calling for you, you know, this wasn't like your grasp at fame or anything like that. You have this compulsion to make a difference, to go out there and help people. And when people listen to you, because I'm listening to you, and you're coming across crystal clear that you're very sincere with the message and with what you're trying to achieve here. And a lot of times, I listen to people sometimes when they're listening to candidates and they're trying to decide who they're going to vote for. And a lot of times, it's just the lesser of two evils. They don't like either one of them, you know?
And I hate that it's like that. I hate that it's like that. It shouldn't be that. It should be the person that shows you the most sincerity, the person that gives you the better, you know, solutions to our problems. That's what it should be like, shouldn't it?
So it's nice. It's nice and refreshing that you know, that this show can present a true choice to people.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me that you said that.
I do believe that you're putting. You're putting out something that is not the lesser of two evils, and is not okay. Well, there's nobody else, so I'll go with this guy because you know I like his eyes. It's about hearing, like Shelley says, you talk with a very loud, clear ring of truth, and you hear it in your voice. And I think other people will hear it as well. I think that we've come to a place just on several occasions as well. We're at a place where we really, really, I guess we could go lower, but it would be tough. It's time for us to start going upward again. And most of us are ready for that elevation. And as I said before, it's going to be people like you, young people like you, who get it, who are willing to take on the challenges that life has to offer and still rise above them, which you've already done with your own personal situation. And that in itself speaks volumes to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people out there who are afraid to go any place else but where they are right now. So every time we talk about the fact that you can walk through another door, some people look at you like, I'm afraid, or I can't, or I don't have any money, or I'm too dumb, or I have no education, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. You know, they hear people like us talking about being able to walk through any door that presents itself, and they begin to realize that they're capable of doing that too. And, of course, that's how you'll build that unity. That's how you'll get the kind of strength and unity that you're going to need to really be successful, is the people that stand beside you. They'll make you even stronger than you are right now because they stand beside you. And that's really, really important. And I think that you have two diehards right here, because not too many people mess with me, Shelley.
I'm glad that I changed my my plans for this evening and made it to your show, because I think I just made two wonderful new friends, and possibly many more.
Yes, and I think you're right. I think you're right. So when is the next time you're going to do something that would be public? You know, like anything? Are you going to appear at anything? Are you going to be anywhere? Is there something that I can let people know about? If there isn't yet, you need to let me know right away so I can let people know.
We want to plan a fundraiser for the end of July, a meet and greet / fundraiser. That way, you know, if you don't have money and you just want to meet me, you're allowed to come, enjoy some food, mm-hmm. and mingle a little bit, and definitely come up to me and talk to me. But, of course, you know, if you have the funds, even if it's $5, definitely donate. Mm-hmm. We want to have one of those kind of events at the end of July. We've had two already. We're you know, we're looking at the end of the
July. Where would you hold something like that?
We want to host an event in the Miami-Dade part of the district, because we've had two mm-hmm. events in the Broward half. Apart from that, we're planning this very, very, very exciting event that's going to be a masquerade ball, an old-fashioned masquerade ball. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be, you know, you can either make your own mask or bring your own mask, but we want it to be elegant, we want it to be classy and affordable for everybody, and it's going to serve as a fundraiser, not only for me, but two other candidates that have emerged locally that are just like me, that believe in the same things I believe in, that also need that little bit of exposure. So the three of us are going to do an event. It's probably going to happen, I'm going to guess, probably around October, you know, as it gets closer to the Halloween season.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, mm-hmm. the July event, as soon as we have the details set for the July event, I'll definitely tell you. And, you know, and if we do get a big following in West Palm, you know, I may even have a meet and greet up there at a local restaurant, a local coffee shop. I don't mind traveling if I can meet people that believe in my message of putting people first
mm-hmm.
in every decision mm-hmm. that we possibly put them in.
Well, you know, I have a really big house, and I have a nice backyard with a pool and a patio and a big living room.
Old-fashioned lemonade and burgers and hot dogs on me.
There you go. There you go. And I think that speaks to people, too. Grandiose is wonderful, and I think the masquerade party sounds like an awesome event and something that
will
be fun for so many different people. But
you
I
see
also
it in the movies, but it's rarely done in real life.
It's true. It's true. So we wanted to have an event about the Golden Rule, because I do a lot of talking about bullying, and we have made friends with a gentleman by the name of Israel Kalman, who is the director of Bullies to Buddies, and his idea is that we all live by the Golden Rule now, which I have always spouted, you know, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And
exactly.
he teaches us, and we do role-playing on the show and everything about how you can actually turn a situation around, even between, you know, a mother and a daughter, or a dad and a son, or whatever, and with bullies. And it's amazing what it does to you, because I do it with him firsthand, so I really grasp how it changes how you feel when somebody takes the anger out of a situation. And, you know, you're driven by the anger, and that's what makes you do the foolishness. And many times a bully, of course, is a victim before they become a bully. So getting in touch with their sensitive side often, you know, kind of deflates the anger part of it. So he's awesome. We love him. He's in Israel right now awaiting the birth of his first grandchild. But he will be back in a few more weeks, and he's a regular on the show. So we wanted to have an event about the Golden Rule. But everybody that I've talked to about big parks and stuff like that, you know, they want me to pull permits and say how many people are coming. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know,
you know
how big
sometimes
it can get.
Sometimes people make things difficult, I guess. It should be so simple.
They do.
It?
Yes, it should be very, very simple. That's how I felt about Grandma's house. I said, why are you guys making this into such a big deal? You know,
yeah.
It would even be a place for somebody to live. I could even sponsor a house like that and let somebody live there because I want to live at home with my own family, and I'd just supervise it. It would provide housing for somebody and a job. Now, well, you got to have this and you got to have that. And I was like, oh, God, you're ruining the whole thing. So,
the red tape.
But they couldn't take the show away from me because I didn't need anybody to say I could, didn't need anybody to say I couldn't, didn't need anybody to say anything. All I did was pay my $39 and I became a radio show host. And didn't have to depend on anybody but Renee and, of course, my Shelley. Shelley and I have been friends for 13 years, so we're very close and we think a lot along the same lines, even though we do have some interesting discussions. A little difference of opinion every now and then.
I'm so curious to hear what you disagree on.
Oh, you'd probably be very surprised. but we also come from totally, totally different backgrounds, totally different. I'm very smart when it comes to friends, you know.
Finding common ground is such a beautiful thing, I think.
It truly is, especially since it's nice. You know, one of the lectures I gave very early on after Mikey got hurt was about how different we all are and the fact that we have to embrace that. And I said, has anybody ever done a jigsaw puzzle? And everybody raises their hands. And I said, did you ever notice that none of the pieces are the same and yet they all fit together so beautifully to make the big picture? And
exactly.
Everybody goes, oh, that's true. And I said, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be identical. How boring would that would be, you know?
Exactly.
And I can tell you firsthand, there's nobody like me and there's nobody like Shelley. So we will be your supporters from here on out, and we're here for you. And if we don't have a date for you to be on the show, that doesn't mean you can't call. If you're listening, you can listen from any phone, John, or you can be on your computer, and you can always call the number I gave you tonight. And if you dial in and are listening to the show and it's something you think you have something valuable to share about something we're talking about that will help what you're doing and the journey that you're on, you just click on the button that says, yes, you want to talk to me, and I click you in.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So I'll start working on my mask right now for October. and the rest of my outfit, and you will be on our show again very soon, and I so want to thank you, and I want you to know that you've made me feel better about our future.
You've really made me feel better about our future. If I can instill hope in anybody, you know, my mission is almost complete then. Little by little, we will, you know, bring, you know, positivity back and hope and all that great stuff.
Mm-hmm. Some compassion and some empathy, and it's the perfect Sunday. The perfect Sunday.
Exactly.
and don't forget, it's always nice to have a little bit of ethics in politics. It's very refreshing.
Wouldn't it
yeah.
be nice?
Well, you know, when you talk about the schools and everything, this is an issue hopefully we can talk about one night, and that is the fact when they designed the Florida Lottery to help all the schools, and yet when you enroll a child in an elementary school, it costs you anywhere from $40 to $60 to get your kid
mm-hmm.
into kindergarten or first grade
mm-hmm.
or second grade and on up. And then your teacher is always sending home and saying, could you send in more tissues? Can you send in more crayons? You know, because they don't have enough money to keep all the kids with supplies. That is, like, awful in my eyes. Just awful.
Yeah, it's
so
horrible. I mean, I can't tell you the hundreds of dollars that I've spent on my students, and many teachers
yeah.
like me that have done the same thing as well.
Yes. Well, I see teachers in the $5 deal store and in the dollar store all the time.
Yep.
They have a whole
yep.
section in the dollar stores now just for teacher stuff, you know, like rulers and these little measuring things and all these cute little things that they use in their classes. Thank God. Otherwise, they wouldn't even have that. Okay, we're almost out of time. Thank you guys both so, so much. It was a great show tonight, and I really appreciated your input. And I'm so glad my Danny made sure that we got to meet. That's awesome. So thank you both, Shelley and John, and we will all speak again soon. So from my heart to yours, everybody, good night and God bless. Good night, you guys.
Good night. Thank you.